This is that other sports shit. Let's go. Folks, we're back. We are exactly on time, sort of. We're still here on a Wednesday, so that's good. We're keeping our Wednesday streak. And the best part about today's show.
We missed last Wednesday, so we're on a Wednesday
streak. We're already restarting.
Consecutive Wednesdays. We fucked that up.
I honestly don't even remember last Wednesday, like how we missed it, like what happened. I don't know. There were some really good football games last week. And then the fights have been kind of like just mid. And so now we're here. And as Jay and I were speaking earlier before the show, that, you know, it's just he brought up to my attention. It's just that kind of end of the year lull with like UFC and Bellator and all these guys. Not really anything happening. Like the next couple weeks, 3 weeks, they'll start back up at the beginning of the new year. The beginning of 2023. How? I don't have a flying car yet. I don't know. Michael J. Fox, I kind of blame you because you put that dream into my head, and now here we are, and I have no flying cars. It's almost 2023. I don't understand what's happening. We're still using fossil fuels. I want to ask you, my friend, how was your Christmas? Did you get anything good? Was it gnarly? Like, how did the family?
Yeah.
What was going on? Tell me about Christmas.
So what's up? Jesse Thomas over there. Jay Valdez over here. We're just kicking it right off. To touch on MMA here quickly, and then I'll get into the questions. So, yes, there's no fights right now. If you're tuning in for combat sports, we really have nothing. The real marquee shit is not going on for the next few weeks. If you're a real MMA head, hashtag MMA Twitter guy, of course, you got what's going on. I believe it's in Japan here.
What is it? Noki Boom or whatever?
It's the Bellator versus Dream. They're still trying to keep that MMA combat sports thing going alive on New Year's Eve after all these years. So shout out to them for that. But we're not going to recap it. And I swear I already think I saw guys pulling out of fights. I think I saw that. So anyway, Jess, I was thinking this. So we've done this show for so long, 10 years. Is this the first year that we did not have a guest this year?
Did we have Chandler Cole on?
No,
this
that was
summer,
last year.
Or was that last summer?
I think that was last year. We had no one this summer. I was in the old house last summer when we interviewed Chandler.
All right.
And then he did the Ultimate Fighter, so that was definitely over a year ago.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay. Shout out to Chandler Cole, by the way. Really good dude.
Yeah, watch him on ESPN Plus.
Yeah, he's actually been on
the
show. Like,
support us.
I think he's been on the show three times. He's done it three times, including the lead up to his run in with the Ultimate Fighter.
He had
phenomenal like wheel kick thing going on. It was.
And we've made zero effort to reach out to anyone. I feel this year we've made zero.
We've become those podcasters that like
I don't like that.
We're so big. I'm telling you.
We're
so huge right now. We don't need people.
Yes. Well, here's the deal. We could fill up an hour of material just doing this shit. So we don't need a third wheel. But I always feel like we miss a third wheel. Shout out Chris. Shout out Che Rollins. Shout out our old school affiliates who would pop on every few months and just do some shit. And shout out Justin Von Doom. My man Justin Von Doom just made me a 9-hour workout list. So you want to talk about max gains, Jess? I got 9 hours of gains.
Listening to that crazy-ass Swedish metal. Like, your gains are going to go through the roof.
Brother, you are listening to metal that's either involving wizards or spells or zombie westerns. Like, it's not just your typical death metal. It's some other shit, but
it's got a story behind it.
But so this year we had no guests. Shout out, next year we will have guests. I promise you, Jess, we're gonna work hard to at least achieve 3 guests. So if we're putting a earmark on our 2024 podcast, is it gonna be 2024 or 2023? I'm already lost.
2023.
Then let's make sure we get 3 guests in 2023, even if it's the same three guests we always
have. Easy. I say that we start off just bringing in the old crew.
Nah, you start there.
But that's what I think we should do. And then this is what I think we should do also. I honestly have preferred BSing on Twitter with the so-called like media analysts of like whether it's NBA, NFL, whatever. There's some folks on there, you know, like sideline guys, local guys that kind of do local stuff. And I think that we have a good shot at getting some of those folks on here and talking about upcoming season stuff as well.
I think we got to reach out to, I mean, some guys are just big time now. Gabe Morency, shout out Gabe Morency. I was watching the Gambling Channel. He was on the Gambling Network the other day. And I mean the television network, just doing a full hour of shit. So it's interesting where you look at the people we were having on the show 2-3 years ago. Moose, 2-3 years ago, and now he's like been the Impact champion. He's done all this stuff. He's wrestled in New Japan. I watched Moose wrestle in San Jose. So it's crazy to think about. But yeah, I think you're right. We got to reach out to the old guard, and then we gotta find some new guard. We got to get Antoine Staley back on. I've always enjoyed him. I enjoy him on Twitter. There's some boxing guys I want to reach back out to that I think are some newer guard guys.
You think that he's not big enough yet? That what about Nolan Smith?
No, I hit 1,000,000%.
Is he too big?
1,000,000%. He will come on the show. We got to give him a little bit of leeway, but 1,000,000% he comes back.
I love that guy, and he's gotten huge too. Talk about a guy who started from nowhere. I mean, we all kind of start from nowhere, right?
Yes.
But he just kind of like started on Twitter, kind of gave himself a handle, started pitching in with a few things here and there. Now the guy works for like USA Today or something like that. Yeah, like whatever. I mean, it's insane.
I can tell you a guy, listen, I don't mean to be that guy right now, but I can tell you 1,000,000%. If we reach out to Steve Kim, who I feel like we used to be able to get on the show frequently, there's no fucking way that guy responds to my email right now. He does like Jason Whitlock show. Like he does enormous shows. There's no chance. Big times, just like you wouldn't believe, wouldn't give us 5 minutes, but that's okay. We understand that's how the sport works, right? We've gotten emails from big people that said, yo, I'll be on, and then we never hear from them again. That's how it works. Okay, Jess, Christmas was dope. I got to spend Christmas Eve with a lot of my old guard people I've known for 10, 15 years. Family, bloodline was here. That was dope. Christmas Eve was dope. Christmas Day, my house was basically empty because we got everything done those 2 days prior. So I was fucking big.
Smart man.
Chill. Man, you want to talk about big chill, eating leftovers. I have ballooned. I got up to like 196 pounds. So I am just fucking heavy right now. I'm heavy, so we'll see. You know, I'm gonna have to probably go keto here in January. I've been eating so much fudge, candy, chocolate. People are bringing the cakes. I mean, dog. And I'm not even talking about tamales and just, you know, the shit that you eat during those 2-3 days, stuffing. There is a moment where I looked at a plate I made and I was like, that's a carb, that's a carb, that's a carb, that's a carb. There's no actual nutritional value on this plate. It's just fucking delicious sides. I just want to eat. I want to eat them right now, thinking about them. But yeah, it was dope. It was dope, man. I can't complain. Again, happy holidays. Shout out to all of our people. I think I reached out to you. I reached out to a bunch of people. So yeah. Yo, listen, it's all family. It's all love. Again, Jess, we've been doing this show for fucking way too long. So I'm just happy to be back with you. Do you got anything to say going into the new year? Because we will not be doing a new show. This is the last show of the year.
No, this is the last show.
We got to over 30, which was a big deal. Did we break the seal on shows we did, or were right around the same, or where are we at?
I believe that this week would break our record. I believe the old previous record was 31. I think we had 31 shows in a year. We're at 32. I believe this is show 32 or possibly 33. That's a lot of shows for us.
It's Magic Johnson.
I mean, you have to think about it this way, folks. You think you hear the number 33 in a year, and you're like, oh, that ain't nothing. Come on.
We're not
McAfee. We're not Rogan. We don't get paid millions of dollars to do this.
That's the
so
first
when
place
a break comes
go.
Up, when we got something going on, trip to the coast, or, you know, like some emergency comes.
Jesse.
We're not doing the show.
We have done more free ads this year than we've ever done in years combined.
We have, actually. We've done a lot.
And I'm about to, at the end of the show, get you to do a free ad for Woke. I'm not even playing. I need at the very end of the show to get a minute of your idea of Woke, and we'll get into that whole thing. But yeah, listen, let's keep it moving, Jess. We're just kind of crushing and combining here. We got so here's the deal. We will do possibly some fight of the year stuff next week when Jess and I have a real week to absorb it, because there was a lot of crazy shit, and yeah, you're gonna get a lot of that in the next 2 weeks because it's just filler, because a lot of people are just throwing their filler shows out. So we'll do that shit next week, I believe, because there's no fights next week, or we can do like a little bit of a recap of the Bellator Ryzen stuff that goes down on New Year's Eve.
We'll see.
And then, yeah, let's see. We'll cross that bridge when we get there. Or we might just do exactly what we're about to do right now, Jess, because we're 10 minutes into the show. We said we're going to do a quick show, and we just spent 10 minutes partying and bullshitting. That's what we do. I am looking at NFL Week 17, Jess. We are once again looking at thelines.com. There's another free plug. All of your favorite DraftKings, because I'm looking at DraftKings. All of your favorite gambling websites. And I'm talking DraftKings. I'm talking Caesars. I'm talking FanDuel. I'm talking BetMGM. The shady Indonesian sites that only take Bitcoin regardless of the value of it today. Yes, we're going to start hot and heavy. My Dallas Cowboys, they put that slap on the Eagles. And fuck the Eagles, always. Cowboys will always say that. All Cowboys fans, if I don't care if you're 8 or 80, you got to start by hating the Eagles, and it ends by hating the Eagles. 12-point favorite. They're playing the Tennessee Titans. Jess, what you got?
Yeah, this is easy, man. Dallas is they're playing really good football, and the Tennessee Titans are just absolutely a mess. From coaching staff to owner. Players on the field. Dallas, and I'm going to take the two. 12 seems high, but Dallas has been scoring a lot of points. You've just seen it against Philadelphia. Both teams forgot to play defense that game, although Dallas's defense came up big late in the game. Tennessee has nothing. So I'm taking Dallas and the points.
I'll use this early and often in this show. Dallas against the spread has not been great, and now the data's there. So I like Dallas. I don't like the points. This feels to me more of like a 7 to a 10 point win for Dallas, because Tennessee just sticks around running. Henry's playing, right? They just run it. They just run the big dog into the ground. And I like Dallas, though. I like where they're at. I still think when we look at that tier of football teams, I think Dallas is definitely in that second tier with the 49ers, who we'll talk about. The Eagles, I think, are still right there at one, but under that, it gets interesting. I like Dallas. I don't like the points. I'd say take the points. Arizona, quickie game right here. We can flush this one right down the toilet. They are a 3.5 point dog to the Atlanta Falcons at home. Is this the first time the Falcons have been a favorite this year? This is trash quarterback versus trash quarterback. This is just the old school. Give somebody 3 points because they're at home. Who you got?
I believe that the Arizona Cardinals are rolling out with Trace McSorley, and that is a McSore idea. Yes. I'm taking the rookie. Desmond Ridder is going to come in there. He had a decent game last week. He started to semi get into a rhythm. Mm-hmm. This week we're going to see a little bit more. They're going to run the ball a lot more. They're going to get chances when he has chances. And I think Atlanta wins in Arizona.
For some reason, Atlanta and Ridder got a lot of video time, a lot of airtime on Red Zone this past week. And I saw a lot of Ridder, and there was a lot of shit I didn't like. And you just kind of chalk it to the rookie jitters, if you will. I saw a few things, maybe less than a handful, maybe less than a handful. But a few things I did like, a few things where I went, oh, okay.
Here's the funny here, real quickie before we go into your pick. I have a couple Atlanta Falcons on one of my, I like Drake London. I had Kyle Pitts. That was a mistake. And I have Algier, the running back. And I saw it. So every time they get into the red zone for my fantasy, ESPN fantasy team,
you're paying attention.
Says, hey, your guy's in the red zone. I never saw them score, but they were in the red zone quite a bit.
They might have been turning the ball over in the fucking red zone.
Most likely.
I like Atlanta. I don't know about the points, guy. I guess I'll take Atlanta on the points. This is an absolute fucking coin flip, and we'll leave it there. Chicago, they are on the road. They're a six. I see 5.5 at a few sites, but we'll stick with six. The Detroit Lions, you don't want to say they've cooled off, but they've finally taken an L here. They're a 6 to a 5.5 point favorite. They're at home, Jess. Who you got?
I've got Detroit. Home field advantage. Dan Campbell coming last week. Chicago is still sort of reeling and haven't found their identity yet on the offensive side of the ball. Sorry to any Chicago Bears fans. The Bears are going to lose to Detroit.
Yeah, Detroit stays consistent here. Is Fields still playing? Is Fields still starting? Maybe the six.
He's still there.
This, you know what? I'm going to say I like the six. No, I don't like the six. I like Detroit to win. I like Chicago to keep it close. And, Dan, now that I feel like I'm saying that, I can see Detroit just fucking boat racing. I'm late. But, yeah, I'm going to go Detroit. I like Detroit to win. I like Chicago to cover. It feels like a 3 or a 4 point game because Fields keeps it sexy. He keeps it close. Here's a nasty one here. High points, 12.5 across the board. The Denver Broncos have fired their coach. Absolute fucking fire sale. The impact, if you will, just the ripple effect of Russ. And I made sure to retweet this. You know, the Denver hiring that coach, in my opinion, conspiracy theory real quick, I think that they hired that coach with the assumption that they were getting Rodgers, that they got the phone call, that the Rodgers deal was in place, and however, whatever, that shit fell apart. And so they end up with his coach. They end up with Russ. His assumption is, I can figure it out. I can fix it with Russ. What else in the fuck is he going to say, right? He's the coach now. It doesn't happen. It doesn't work. Systematically, it all falls apart. And here we are. With that said, 12.5 points. Yeah, Jesus. KC, 12.5 across the board. Jess, what you got? KC at all, by the way.
I think KC wins, and I hate taking points that big. It's a big point spread, but I mean KC can put up points. Denver is just awful. Like awful.
Give me your thoughts on my conspiracy. Does that make sense?
You know what? I was just thinking about it when you said it, because Nathaniel Hackett is a Green Bay guy and he's an Aaron Rodgers guy.
Yeah, he was the offensive coach of Rodgers, and he took that.
So you've put these pieces together for me, I really feel like you're correct. Like that's a great assumption because
I don't mean to interrupt you. You remember Schlereth going on the fucking radio the day of the draft, an hour before the draft, and going, "Yeah, man, they got Rodgers. It's a fucking done deal."
I remember all the whispers. Schlereth
went on the fucking radio and said, "Yeah, it's a done deal." The day of the draft, I'm thinking, "Holy shit."
Well, and I think that most people thought Rodgers was going somewhere, whether it was to San Francisco or to Denver, possibly. I think that most people had that kind of figured out because obviously he was showing a great unhappiness in Green Bay and just disdain for the way that they've kind of treated him, so to speak, with the putting talent around him and trading off Devontae Adams and so on. Him staying, I think, shocked the league in itself. And if you go out, if you're Denver, you go out there and you get your guy for your head coach thinking, hey, man, this is only going to help my, you know, it's only going to give me the advantage when Rodgers comes. And then Rodgers says, you know what, guys, I'm sorry, man, I'm staying in Green Bay. What do you do? And the worst thing is this is possibly the worst trade in NFL history. If you think about it, Russ Wilson was a guy that we were all mentioning as like a future Hall of Fame. I'm not saying that he won't be or can't be.
Yeah.
I'm just saying like we're talking Hall of Fame guy, multiple Pro Bowl guy, Super Bowl winner guy, and just like a multi-blade switch type player. He can just be and do anything at all times on the field. And then Denver just gave up like a bazillion draft picks and play. Jesus. They gave up both and their money, first and dollars. Second string quarterback. Man, just
woo. That was a nightmare. Jeff, this is so. It's not again. It's the money. It's the picks. It's the absolute all in. That I mean, they'll be writing books about it probably in a few years. They'll be fucking.
It's bad.
It's unbelievable. And the more stuff that comes out about Russ, we've done it for 18 weeks. And again, it's your first time listening this year, thank you for joining us. I've been saying as many times as we've done this, the football shows, I was all in on Russ early, and it just never happened. And here we are, the ripple effect again, if you will. One more thing here on Kansas City, Jess. Are we going to start looking at Mahomes as the MVP here down the stretch they come?
It depends on how he plays. I mean, to be honest,
if they win by 14 and he throws fucking four touchdowns here.
Yes, but here's the thing with Mahomes. Mahomes has reached, and he's reached it early. A lot of quarterbacks take a much longer time, but we've reached this period with Patrick Mahomes where he has been so good from the very beginning. Yep. That LeBron when he has that 250, 300-yard game, we start going, damn, is this the downfall of Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah.
And that's where we're at. We see him throw two picks in a game, and we're like, eesh, is this it for Patrick? Is the magic gone? It doesn't happen to a lot of players. But I'm telling you, with Patrick Mahomes, the success so early on in the career, the yards, the touchdowns, the records, the wins, the Super Bowl appearances, the Super Bowl win. We've got to a place where his mediocrity is what most quarterbacks wish they could achieve. And we're looking at Patrick going, damn, that was not a great game. So maybe if Patrick comes out, throws for 350 and four touchdowns, maybe that erases some of that. But, I mean, he's going to have to play like that for basically the rest of his career. It's crazy.
The LeBron James effect,
yes,
the Kobe Bryant effect. We look back at Kobe's career and we go, these MVPs should have went to him. Steve Nash MVP should have went to him. It's crazy to think about. You are such an elite level that it's just expected. I like Kansas City. I like the points. I like Mahomes pushing forward to potential MVP here, because they just go, well, fuck, we can't give it to Josh Allen. We got to give it to – we'll see, though. New England.
Josh would have to have a hell of a game against the Bengals.
We've got two games here. Down the stretch they come here, right? We've got, I believe, two games or one game left here.
We got this week and next week and then playoff time.
But the MVP is going to go to the regular season shit. So we got two games here. Okay, New England, the filthy Belichick Patriots. How have we not been able to do a show since that Raiders game? They are playing the Miami Dolphins. God, Jess, we're spending a lot of time on these games, but let me tell you this. Tua, first of all, 3 points across the board, New England, and we know why. They're at home. Tua's out. You sit Tua the rest of the year, Jess. I mean, it fucking almost feels like an absolute yes, but give me your thoughts.
100%, you have to sit Tua. The bad press itself is enough to say, hey, we got to sit him. It doesn't matter if we don't make the playoffs. It doesn't matter. We have to sit him. We can't play this guy. They just came out today, and Mike McDaniels came out and said, well, he looked kind of funny on the field. So after the game, I thought, that's really, you can't, as a head coach, I tweeted this out, as a head coach, your job, your priority is the players on the field, not the wins. Wins come and go. Players need to be on the field, and they need to be healthy. And if they're not, they need to be off the field. You literally saw a guy wobbling around, looking kind of weird, and you were like, ah, fuck it. He's just,
it's bad.
Long game. It's the end of the season. I'm going to continuously put him on the field. Same thing happened in the Buffalo game. Same thing happened in the Cincinnati Bengals game. Multiple games this season, poor Tua has been knocked around and concussed potentially, because apparently we don't have proof that it's actually been concussions. This is a bad look. You have to sit him for the rest of the season. You have to.
I'm starting to eat candy now because I'm a snack boy. The 100%, I agree with you. And that's it. 3 points across the board, New England. Who you got?
I got New England. I think dirty ass Mac Jones finds a way to pull it out and they beat the Miami.
Ooh. That's AFC East Mac right there. I heard that.
Dirty Mac.
Add a little bit of caramel. Don't even edit that out. I love caramel. I love the caramel chocolate Jared Ellie snowman. What are you going to do?
Ooh,
I'm telling you,
good.
I'm still a snack boy.
Those are good.
I'll be 200 pounds for January 1st. Fuck
it,
why not?
It's holiday time, man. We can do whatever we want. Afterwards, at the start of the year, we're going to get back on it. We're going to crush it.
Man, I like the idea of Miami staying fucking froggy. And I like the idea of McDaniel finding a way to sneak out a win on the road with that backup quarterback and just the playmakers he has.
Teddy spaghetti legs.
But you might be right. I don't know. Is this the first New England team that's full 3-2-1 Cancun, the first Belichick fucking team that we've seen 3-2-1 Cancun in 20 years. I don't know. I'm going against the spread here. I like Miami. I like a sneaky win on the road. Okay, we are not spending more than 5 seconds on this game. The Giants, they're a 6-point favorite across the board. I see a 5.5 in there against the New England. I'm sorry, against the Indianapolis Colts and our boy, the Pancake Coach. Who you got?
The Pancake Coach. I got the Giants. I think this is a great game for the G-men to bounce back and try to, you know, get on a good note for the end of the season. I don't think that the G-men will be able to make the playoffs. The playoffs are really tough right now, especially in the NFC East. There's a lot, like, every team is pretty good, got a decent record, especially if you're at the top. This is a good game for them to bounce back. I got the G-men. I like the points.
I think the G-men absolutely smash. And this is going to be another one of those. They look at the statistics and go, well, the Pancake Coach has been outscored 130-12 in the fourth quarter now within these five combined games.
How many quarterbacks have they had this season?
Oh, let me say this 15? On the way out. Let me say this on the way out. This is where I want Derek Carr to play with the Colts. And not the Pancake Coach, because they're going to – this guy is getting sent to ESPN – right back to the same desk, right back to the fucking same suits, right back to the fucking same shows. Do not pass go. Do not collect fuck $200. And he's going to have a big fucking smile day one there and say, hey, I gave it a try. Mina, here's what I think about the Raiders. I hope that fucking Derek Carr lands in Indy. I think it's a good spot for him. I think the town will accept him. They'll love him. I think a guy like McAfee would fucking put him over like you wouldn't believe. And I understand the why another retread. Well, first of all, one of those retreads worked really good, Phillip Rivers. The other ones, not so much. I'm not calling Derek Carr a fucking retread either. I think he's far from that. I think he's still got 3 to 5 years with a good quarterback. I don't want to say great, possibly great if he's got an offensive line around him. Play. So we'll see. But more importantly, he's always played really well when he's got a great running back behind him, and you stick that running back behind him with some tackles, with some linemen. Now we're really fuck cooking. I hope that's where Derek Carr lands as a Fresno State guy.
That's a good place. I like that.
Right? Okay. Philly, they're a 6-5.5 point favorite at home against New Orleans. I know Hurts ain't playing. I don't give a shit. This still feels kind of low to me. What you got?
It does seem low. Six and a half is gracious. That's a gracious point spread for the Saints, because I still think even with Gardner Minshew, he came in against the Cowboys. He put up like 350 and 3 touchdowns all, you know, like in that game. And Dallas's defense is no slouch. Like the Saints have a good defense, but I mean, come on, let's be real. Eagles by at least 10. I mean, come on. Like, let's be real.
Yeah, 100%. That 9-10 feels about right here. This gets away from New Orleans late. Philly is very smart. I'll give their coach credit at getting Minshew into opportunistic spots where he can make those throws. You know what I mean? He's definitely not Hurts, but he can make a play or two with his feet. You know, can't make a bunch of them, but. No, I like Philly, and I like this by 9 or 10. That's why I see the 6.5 out there. I would not be surprised in between now and Saturday that fuck point spread goes up a little bit. Here's a nasty one. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers at home, 3 across the board versus Carolina. Sneaky fucking Carolina sticking around. Jesse, yeah.
You know, middle-aged Tom Brady will still yet again find a way to make a couple throws late in the game.
That's where we're at
with Tom, right? Like he's not consistently throwing the ball. I mean, he does. He still throws the ball like 50 times a game. I'm surprised. But I mean, the throws that he makes that are important are always in the fourth quarter. That's what happened this last week. He made some very impressive throws. Nice little score there towards the end of the game. Got Tampa the win. And I think that that's how this game against Carolina will probably go. Brian Burns will get balled up there, probably double teamed. The defense doesn't really have a whole lot outside of Brian Burns. Once you eliminate him, you give Tom Brady some breathing room. He's going to make some throws. The offense is healthy for the first time in months. So I'm taking the Bucs, and I love the points, man. I'm taking the points all day.
Yeah, this Tom is so cooked. And my my prediction of him coming into the playoffs and making a run, and I mean, I want to throw that out of the window completely. But I think it still sounds cool. Now let's bring the story down to, hey, at least he's able to fucking take this team to the playoffs. I mean, they're kind of a shell themselves. I watched that game the other night, Jess. He just can't make the throws anymore. He fucking can't. The arm
strength is not there anymore.
You got it. But
I blame that on the vegan. I blame that on the vegan timing.
He's a timing guy, and the timing's not there. Like, it's just not there anymore, man. Fuck, it's bad. I think whoever they play in the playoffs is going to smoke them. Unless you get one of those scenarios, and man, I hope it ain't the Cowboys. Let me fucking find some wood to knock on. Where they fuck around and don't show up. Lord knows Cowboys have done it all season, have done it under the entire reign of McCartney, if you will, where they fuck around and play to the level of their opponents instead of just coming out and waxing some ass.
Do you hate the fact that Mike McCarthy shouldn't be the head coach at all? There, Sean Payton or somebody should be there. But the more that he's there, and then yet they win games, and so you can't kick him out.
I think the only way he gets shit canned is if, one, they know Payton, they got a handshake deal with Payton, which I don't think they do, and they got a handshake deal with Payton, and unless anything short of him winning the NFC Championship. Would be they lose in the second round. That ain't shit. They've been doing that with Garrett for fucking 8 years on and off. So that's again, Peyton's there, Peyton's available. Now that's another story.
God, Peyton with Dak and CeeDee and Gallup.
We're doing a lot of what if, because I promise you that Peyton is really going to play the field and play all sides. Where he goes, hey, listen, you know what? Maybe I'll coach. Maybe I'll see Dallas's best offer and then see who wants to match that. Because there's going to be fucking teams that fire their fucking Indy, fucking whoever. Maybe not Vegas, maybe so.
What about the Jets?
You know this, Jets. Fuck that. No, I don't think the Jets fire their coach. Panthers going to run whoever they're running out there next year? Is
Belichick Atlanta, retires and gives the Atlanta, handshake deal?
There's opportunities. Oh, with all that, Jess, he's going to be able to take those offers and then go back to NBC or fucking Fox. I think he's a Fox guy.
Yeah, he's
and
a Fox go, guy.
Hey, guess what? Fucking all these teams are offering me a lot of money, but I like hanging out here. I like fucking going on here and going on there. Why don't you guys match this and I'll stick around for 3 or 4 fucking years? And they go, well, we do have a bazillion dollars because we're a television channel. Or a network. So, yeah, here you go. I think he's going to really play. I don't think there's no handshake deal in place is my whole point on this, Jess. And I think he really fucking plays it by ear. With all that said, I like Tampa. I like the fucking points. And I think Brady just fucking does enough to fucking stick around and keep it moving. I do not like Carolina in an upset here. I like Tampa Bay at home. Washington football team. Came back to earth a little bit here, just like the Lions. They took an L. I watched the most inspiring video in the world of Rivera calling in a bunch of his players to tell them they made the Pro Bowl. One of them starts crying. Rivera treats the guy like it's his own son. Listen, I'm ready to put Rivera on the tier with our boys here. I hate to put him next to Belichick. I hate to put him next to Tomlin. I know he has nowhere near the wins, but you want to talk about an incredible inspiring coach, also a fellow Mexican, it's Rivera. I'm all in. Listen, they want to fire fucking McCartney and bring Rivera in. Please, I'll drive them, pick them both up at the airport. The Washington football team, I see 2, I see 1.5. They're at home. They're playing the sneaky Cleveland Browns. Deshaun Watson, I feel like, is still trying to figure out how to play football here. Who you got?
Well, normally we've been on a streak with the Washington football team, the lovable underdogs of the season, if you will. I think that the more Deshaun gets under center and plays, the better he looks, a little bit crisper the passes are. He's starting to connect a little bit better with his receivers. And as much as I hate to, man, I got to go Cleveland. I think Cleveland goes in there. They get the win over Washington. I like the points, not a lot of points. Yeah, so too. I'm going to go Cleveland in the points.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the two, the 1.5, the you go back to Wentz.
Well, that's the worst part about this game is like,
yeah, you go back to Wentz.
If you want, we can talk about Rivera and the way that he coaches and the way that he embraces his players. But when you pull a guy like Tyler Heineke, you pull him, and then you put Wentz in to finish the game, injury or not, or whatever the reason was to pull him, I get it. But now you're setting a weird precedent there in the locker room, and you're getting inside the head of your guy who was your guy for the entire season after Wentz basically shit the bed for the first four games. Now you're going to go back? Like, I think that if there's one criticism for me and Mr. Rivera, that's the one.
It's fair. It's fair. I agree with you here. I like Cleveland. Cleveland still has elite running backs, and at some point they'll figure out this whole running game. I like Cleveland. I like the points. I'm in agreement with you. We're going to rush through three games here I see that I just want to knock out. First one, Rams on the road facing the Chargers at home. I feel like this is one of those weird home games for the Rams. Chargers are a 6.5-point across the board, Jess. Who you got?
This is a Baker comes back to earth, and he has to play like a fairly, maybe almost elite defense. The Chargers are healthy. They're making plays. Herbert's looking good. Strong arms looking good. I'm taking the Chargers over the Rams.
Yeah, I agree. Chargers upswing, maybe a little bit too little too late, but I like the Chargers. I like the points. Feels like a 10-point game there. And here's another stinker here. The New York Football Jets. They are playing Seattle. They're traveling to Seattle. The Jets are still a 1.5-point favorite on the road in Seattle. Jess, who you got?
The Geno Smith train has been derailed.
Well, we talked about it. We talked about it. Listen, there's where we're right and where we're wrong, and here's where we were right. We said they'd come back down here at some point.
You know what? I'm still taking Seattle. I don't care. Geno Smith is good enough to play and beat whoever the quarterback is or whoever's going to play quarterback for the New York Football Jets. The Jets defense is elite, and I mean that. Yes. Like, they are top three defense in the league. Yes. You are not running the ball against them. It's going to be something like 13-10, but I swear to you, Geno will make one drive, score points off that drive, and that will be the game winner.
What's fantastic is I'm going to go 13-10 the other way. I'm going 13-10 Jets. I think the Jets are not 3-2-1 Cancun. They're playing hard for Salah to finish the show here. Yeah. And they're going to have a mid-ass fucking quarterback, who knows who, but they're going to run the ball a lot, and they're going to score one touchdown and two field goals, and it's going to fucking be more than the 10 that the stinky Seattle Seahawks put up. The Niners, 10-point favorite on the road, but they're not traveling far. They're going to Vegas, and they're playing the Raiders. Jess, who you got?
Have the Raiders decided if they're going to bench Carr? I keep hearing
it. They just announced it an hour ago.
Okay, so Derek Carr is being benched for Jarrett Stidham, I believe, is the quarterback.
Shout out our boy Mikael Young, who is celebrating. He's waving both of his arms. He made the, like, he won a race. You know that celebration you do when you shake both of your arms over your head, left and to the right? I just did it with my phone in my hand, by the way. Shout out. He's doing that. 10 points, Jess.
San Francisco. San Francisco wins. I'll even take the points. I don't care at this point in time. I mean, the Raiders.
Fuck yeah. No,
The Raiders with Carr find a way to stay in this game. They still probably lose, but they find a way to stay in. Jarrett Stidham's been in the league for like 4 years. Ain't never done nothing great in his entire career. And that's no knock on him. He's playing in the NFL, so that's great. He's making some money. He's doing his thing. But he's not going to lead this team over the San Francisco 49ers. But I will say this. I don't like the points. I think the points are a little high, to be honest. I think that Brock Purdy is going to come back to earth. We're going to see a couple mistakes by the young man, but the Niners will do enough to win. I would predict more like a 9-point win.
Niners defense is going to absolutely destroy this kid, Stidham. And I think the Niners defense scores 10 points on their own. They kick a field goal.
I take it back. The Niners win by double digits. This game's over. Why do they even have to play?
Niners are rolling on all cylinders here, even good with Lord. Purdy. They don't need Purdy to come back to earth. He can throw for 150 yards. Doesn't fucking matter. They cover the 10. This is, and not only that, you know that the Bay Area hate is still there. And this coach knows this. He's going to want to run it up. I see something like 33-13.
In my head, the numbers 35-10 just flashed. So
yeah. Did we touch this one? Jacksonville on the road, 4.5-point favorite. Okay, Jacksonville on the road, 4.5-point favorite. T-Law, we can pull up all the stats, but Trevor Lawrence, he is the guy. As I've been trying to say, the took 17 weeks, but he's made it, finishing strong. They are playing the Houston. I was going to say Oilers. Jeez, what's wrong with me? The Houston Texans, 4.5-point dog.
The Oilers might have a better chance.
I'm telling you.
Can we bring back Warren Moon and shit?
Earl Campbell's.
Earl Campbell, you know, like resurrect him and just like bring him back. Trevor Lawrence, as you mentioned, has come a long way in the last 16 weeks. And when's the best time to start playing if you're on a team that's iffy? The end of the season. You get that confidence going into the offseason, confidence going into the beginning of the next. Trevor Lawrence has done that. He's playing extremely well on the field, getting everybody involved. The Houston Texans are still the team that we root for, and we want to see them win so badly, but they are literally in a tier of their own, and that's the bottom tier of the NFL. There's no one else with them. It's just the Houston Texans. We love the Texans, though. We love our boy Justin Barberum. But I got the Jaguars, and I'm guessing probably, you know, I'm going to go 10 points.
Yeah, 7-10 feels about right here. Maybe Houston sticks around here, but it gets away from them late here in the fourth. I like the Jags, and I like the points. This game's got a little bit of sexo on it, Jess. The Minnesota Vikings, they are a 3.5-point dog. To the Green Bay Packers.
That's ridiculous.
I see three and a half. What in the hell? Is Cousins not playing? Or
the Packers have one decent, semi-good game, and then all of a sudden they're favorites over the Vikings? Come on.
This is weird, Jess. What you got?
I got the Vikings. The Vikings are by far the more complete football team. The Green Bay Packers have a good run game, and Aaron Rodgers is decent right now, like decent at quarterback. He is not Aaron Rodgers of 5 years ago. He's not winning MVPs. This is a guy who didn't even get voted into the Pro Bowl this year, and there's a reason for it. It's because he's not played well. He's got like 13 interceptions. It's something that we don't see Aaron Rodgers do ever, throw double-digit interceptions in the season. It's not happened in a while. Here, we're seeing it now. And I don't trust those receivers. I'm taking Minnesota all day. Justin Jefferson is the godlike level of wide receiver right now.
I don't care how great Green Bay's defense is. They're still playing that kid, and that kid's a monster.
He's getting catch after catch after catch on that secondary, and I don't care who's covering him. I got Minnesota.
I watched a lot of Aaron Rodgers the past few weeks, and I'm here to tell you, I don't like any of what I'm seeing. And I understand the body language is not great, but I'm talking about the throws. He's just – maybe the receivers aren't supposed to be where they're supposed to be, but I just – there's a lot of stuff that I do not like, and I do love Jefferson. I saw Cousins throw so many bad passes into coverage, and this kid's just getting up there and snagging them. He's such a fucking beast. Minnesota wins by at least a field goal. Minnesota wins, Minnesota covers. That feels like easy money. We got two games left here. Jess, we're on pace. Pittsburgh Steelers, they're on the road. They're a 2.5-point dog to the Baltimore Ravens. Ravens 2.5 across the board. Jess, who you got?
Hot damn. So I think, you know what? I'm going to go the same way I've been going the last couple weeks. I got to go by quarterback. Lamar Jackson is not healthy. He's not playing. Hundley or whoever the quarterback is over there in Baltimore done the job that I think that Harbaugh expected him to do. Hell, just a couple weeks ago, I was saying, all you got to do is hand the ball off, man. He's got like 15 running backs and a couple tight ends that you can easily just, you know, short pass that ball all day, and he's not been able to do it. I'm going to go Kenny Pickett and the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think that the Steelers have their defense is playing well. The offense is their Pickett's going to make mistakes. He's going to go like, you know, 2-2 every game from here on out. But I think it'll be enough. I'm taking the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, you know, you and I really like some of these dogs this week. This could be a week that Vegas takes a beating. Some of these points aren't that large, but I like Pittsburgh on the road. This is just one of those, you know what, we didn't get Lamar to finish out. Huntley just ain't the guy. And I like the idea of Pittsburgh being able to put enough together. This feels like a 17-13 game to me. 17-13 Pittsburgh. So I'm going to keep it right there. All right. Wow. Look who we're finishing with here. Well. Look who the last game is here, Jess.
The last Buffalo game. Bills.
The Bills Mafia. 1 to 1.5. It's pretty split here. I'm seeing, I almost feel like you got to go with 1.5. On the road. Ooh, this game is sexy. They're playing the trending up. The AFC champions, if you will, Jess.
Yeah.
The Cincinnati Bengals. Who you got?
They are the defending reigning AFC champions. Yes. The current AFC champions. The Cincinnati Bengals, Hoodie Nation. Joe Cole Burrow out there tossing dingers to
all of his
Jamar
guys.
Chase and everybody.
All of his guys. Higgins. Everyone's back.
I'm going to shock the world. Taking the Bengals.
Get out of here.
The Buffalo Bills.
Are you serious?
I was just talking to a buddy of mine today.
This is unbelievable.
I said, look at this, man. You got to play the cards. I said, my heart wants Buffalo to win this game. I want Josh Allen to go in there, throw for 425, four touchdowns. I want Buffalo to win. They win this game. They roll. They have New England come to Buffalo. They roll New England. They win the number one seed in the AFC. They get the bye week and then playoff games all in Buffalo. I think Cincinnati derails that. Cincinnati is the hot hand. They are playing the hottest brand of football right now. I know that last week they struggled in the second half against a not very good team, but Buffalo also struggled in the first half against a not very good team in the Chicago Bears. Matter of fact, the Bears led the Bills at halftime. I'm taking the hot hand here. I hate to do it. Hashtag Bills Mafia. You know I love you. Buffalo Bills, you know I love you. Josh Allen, you know I love you. I love you, Josh Allen. But I'm taking Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, I think this is the first time you've picked against Buffalo this entire season, which
is
just
it hurts.
I'm gonna fucking I fell out of my chair right now. I'm disagreeing. I'm not taking that bait. I like Buffalo. I like Buffalo. I've watched so much Buffalo Bills football this year, and that guy Josh Allen's a dog. Let me tell you, that guy's a monster. I believe this is going to be something like 20-24. We're going to have comes down the last 8 to 5 minutes in the game, and it's going to get real spicy, and Buffalo is going to fuck around and find a way to win this game. I believe Bill's defense is falling apart a little bit. Is that correct?
Yeah, the secondary is not playing very well, and the run defense has absolutely been a ghost the last 3 weeks.
So, and which is scary when you're playing Mixon.
Yeah, Joe Mixon's going to run it up.
But Buffalo will find a way to keep scoring, stay in the game. And I do believe that Mr. Burrow has turned the ball over a few times this year. I don't know how consistent he's been the last few weeks. I don't have the numbers in front of me. But I feel like this is going to be one of those games where Buffalo is able to get one or two turnovers. Capitalize on those turnovers. I like Buffalo. I still think Buffalo is the top tier AFC team, one of, if not the, up there with Kansas City. I think everyone under them, including the Bengals, when we're looking at the totality of the year here. I know Buffalo isn't finishing the year as strong as you'd like here, Jess, but we talked about this when we did the preseason show. Buffalo has a lot of tough games here, and this is kind
they play a lot of games.
This is what happens when you have those first place schedules.
Hell, so, even the New England game at the end of the year is not a gimme game. Like, you're talking about an AFC East opponent you're playing twice a year. It's tough.
And probably going to be a snow game or cold game too.
I'm just telling you right now, like,
you don't like Buffalo. I'm still all in. I'm still
one thing I've been looking at this season is this. Quarterback play has been the deciding factor in the season this year. And I know a lot of people will be like, oh, well, that's pretty obvious thing. There has been some very bad quarterback play, and then there has been some brilliant quarterback play. And when your quarterback is playing brilliant, they win games. Josh Allen is playing game manager stuff right now. I know that he's had a couple of game winners towards the end of the game. And I know last week the Chicago game got ugly there towards the end. Buffalo got a lot of scores there towards the end. Buffalo's Chicago's defense fell apart. The Bengals are a different story. I think that when you talk elite quarterbacks, when you talk elite quarterbacks in the AFC, you're talking Mahomes, you're talking Allen, you're talking Burrow, you're talking Herbert. And then somewhere, possibly even, if the guy comes back and plays football ever again, maybe even Tua's in that group as well. So just amazing quarterback play in the NFL this year. Over on the in the NFC, you've seen it as well. But these two, Burrow and Allen, that's a hell of a matchup. I am looking forward to it. And I definitely want Buffalo to win this game.
Okay, give me 30 seconds on this, Jess. And I'm going to warm it up here. Jess and I, pre-workout freaks. We take a lot of pre-workout. We take different pre-workouts. We're always down to experiment. We love surprises. So Jess, I would say, is the true aficionado when it comes to different pre-workouts, because he's in one of those elite mailing programs where they just mail them all types of weird shit. I myself have been taking bucked up woke AF for, I would say, 3 years. At least. And I love it. I love it. I live by it. I take it every day when I work out. I take a heaping fucking scoop. I'll switch it up every, I'd say, 3 months, just because you're supposed to. And I'll try something different. I've been experimenting with Rise, which you can also get at Walmart now.
Ooh, do you like that? We'll have to talk about that.
Fucking love it. Fucking love it. Fucking love it. Try that next.
I'm going to have to.
With that said, give me your thoughts on woke, please.
So woke AF, I'm not, you know, like I'm a newbie when it comes to that pre-workout. I've never tried it before, ever. I remember when Jason got like a trial pack of like 3 or 4 different flavors once, like years ago. He loved it. That might have been around, started doing it all the time. I don't know. He has been on this stuff forever, like forever. I switch on and off all the time. I was at Walmart. I'm in desperation mode. I don't have no pre-workout. I'm kind of fiending for some boosts. And I came across Woke AF.
You're thinking of some 6-star. If you're in Walmart, you're like, fuck, I gotta buy 6-star.
I do not want to ever taste 6-star. Does not belong in anyone's mouth ever. Not the pre-workout, not the protein, none of it.
I love it.
Gronk, you can kiss my ass.
Yes.
Go cash that check, but you can kiss my ass.
Anyone endorsing Westbrook, get it out of here. Throw it off yourself.
So I come across Woke AF. I'd never seen it in my store, in my Walmart before.
Mm-hmm.
But I have seen Rise, which is interesting. I'm going to have to go back and try some of that here pretty soon.
Yes.
They had 2 or 3 pretty basic flavors. One of them stood out to me, and I believe it's the Miami Vice.
Mm-hmm.
It just sounded very tropical. To me, it sounds like very citrusy, and I love that kind of stuff. That flavor is good for me, so I grabbed it. I went and tried it out, and I'm telling you, here's how it goes. Like, you drink it. I do not take the full amount of water. I do, like, half that and just, like, quick shot that down.
Yeah,
so that's how I do it.
90%.
Right into the bloodstream. Boom.
That's it. Don't fuck around. I do so, 3 ounces of water tops, and then boom. Fucking yes. Let's go. All right, Jess, so how's
so
the
here's
pump?
It. It How's starts the off, the flavor is excellent. I'm going to start off by that. The flavor is very, very good. It was everything that I thought it would taste like. It's very citrusy. It's got like kind of a pop. Very good stuff. Very good flavor. I can't tell you what flavor it is, but Miami Vice tastes really good.
It's a fruity flavor.
It's a fruity flavor. It's a very fruity flavor. It takes, I'm guessing because the amount of water I'm drinking it with, it hits a little bit faster. So like 15 minutes in, and like I'm not feeling anything. I'm just driving to the gym. I get to the gym. By the end of that first warm-up set, hits like a Mack truck.
Fuck yeah.
Like my eyeballs are like huge, and I'm like, it's time to pump iron.
Fuck yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
The best part about it is every pre-workout you will ever buy always boasts about the pump you will get from taking the pre-workout. And I've taken some that, yes, the pump is good. But I've been at the point where I've had to buy pump specifically to go with pre-workout just to get the right amount of pump. Woke, I am full. Like, my muscles fill up. I'm an incredible Hulk looking motherfucker when I get out. Like, my shirts don't fit. Like, I have to wait for like 3 hours before everything kind of settles down. Like, the pump is magnificent. The focus is really good. And the best part is, I don't feel like my heart's going to blow up during my workout. Like, it's nice and smooth. It's extreme. Like, it keeps you moving, but it is nice and a smooth, even feel. Like, it's not all at one time, right? So that's my preview, so to speak, of Woke AF, at least the Miami Vice. There you go.
Yes, pick it up at Walmart. Free plug for Woke AF. The Bucked Up is the brand. Jess, hit the plugs, and Happy New Year, my friend.
Yeah, so folks, thanks for the year. Everybody that listened, we will probably catch you now in the new year, 2023. I believe that's probably about the right time. This year's been fun. It's been great. Jay and I have had a very enjoyable time doing this show again. And for a full year with very little interruptions, I just want to say from me to you, thank you for every ear that's listened to the podcast. Even if it's just been for a minute or two, I appreciate every second that you listened. And we hope to bring you good content next year. And we will bring on guests. I think it's fun. We got to have some people to like bounce stuff off of. I think it'll be good for us. With that being said, Jason, thank you for doing this for the whole entire year. You are one of the best people I know. And I love you, brother. I'm glad that you had a good Christmas with you and your family. And for Chris and Justin and Shay and B Black and
the boys.
Who am I missing? All the guys, everybody we know out there. Yeah,
everybody, we love
Mattel, all you guys, thank you for just being there and being goofy with us on Twitter and stuff. We love you all for that. That's what I you guys.
Peace, God.